Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. We have got, I think, a most fascinating interview that we're going to be involved with during this next half hour. For those of you who have always had a fascination with the psychic self, if you are intrigued by quantum physics, out-of-body, astral projection experiences, kundalini phenomena, well, we have got the man of knowledge that is going to be able to help you with a few of the insights. My guest today, we're talking to him in Australia. His name is Robert Bruce, and Robert is the author of a how-to book called Energy Work, The Secret of Healing and Spiritual Development. Robert, welcome to the show.
Good day, Donna. Love you to be here.
Well, I am so delighted to have you as a guest. I want my audience to know that you really are one of those pioneering souls when it came to doing research regarding the abilities of mind. You have authored 5 other books, and you have had a lifetime fascination with the paranormal and the spiritual, and you're always interested in playing the role of skeptic and testing the boundaries of anything that surrounds you. And your exploration has taken you into studying the human energy body and so many other levels. Robert, when someone begins a journey of exploration into the paranormal, usually there's a trigger for it. What was it that triggered your interest, and why is it that it's been so important for you to dedicate your life to research on this?
Oh, big question. I originally got involved in this, I started having out-of-body experiences when I was about 4 years old.
And, 4 years?
I had 4 years old, yeah, I was only a little boy. And I started having out-of-body experiences, and I had a lot of them during my childhood. So my parents got involved with spiritual matters when I was about 16, and I was exposed to auras and chakras and Wabsangamantra and things like that, and it was it seemed natural, so I carried on from there. And it's been a long road to get to here, lots of bumps along the way, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
You make a comment right at the very beginning of your book, Energy Work, that pure consciousness is energy, and energy knows no boundaries. You make the statement, where your attention goes, your energy flows, and anyone can do this. There are no age or health limitations and no previous experience or skill needed. I could not agree with you more. I think that it's wonderful that you, along with a number of other persons, including myself, are willing to come out and say, understand that we're working with something that is really natural. And you got into energy work, and your book is related to how people can go about using it. You feel that this is so practical. Tell us how energy work has benefited your life, and also how you were able to discover techniques that people can utilize.
Another big question. Energy work, I discovered the principles of energy work, and I mean discovered as it is given in my book, Energy Work, probably 15 years ago, by accident. Now, there's nothing new about energy work and the energy body. The secret here in my work is how I go about it, the what I call body awareness tactile imaging, is I can literally teach energy work in 2 minutes to a person. I actually broke my own record the other day. I broke my own record the other day at a little one-day workshop, and a lady came in late, and I actually did it in less than 60 seconds. And I taught her how to feel energy, and she could join in with the group because she was a bit late.
Now, Robert, someone listening to this may say, okay, this guy's saying we can do this in 2 minutes. Then he's saying he's got a lady that he taught, he broke a record, and he did it in 60 seconds. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
It can't be that quick. We have all these people that tell us it's going to take years to accomplish it. All right. My audience is eager. What is it you can do in 2 minutes?
What you can do is you can feel your own energy. And the easiest way is to show you how... It takes a lot of talking about energy work. It's very, very easy to teach. Can I take your listeners for a short exercise?
Oh, good.
Good. Right, put out your left hand in front of you and take the fingertips of your right hand and drag them along the top of your left hand, backwards and forwards from fingertips to wrists. Just keep moving that, dragging your fingers back and forwards across your left hand. Now, memorize the touch that you're causing as you're dragging the fingers of the right hand over the surface of the palm and fingers of your left hand. Memorize that feeling you're causing, because in a minute we're going to stop physically touching it and we're going to continue moving the feel alone, that feel you're causing in your left hand. Right, stop physically touching your left hand and continue moving that feel you caused backwards and forwards from your fingertips to your wrist, about half a second to 1 second each way.
Okay.
Backwards and forwards. Just keep moving the feel. Keep doing that, and you, as you move the feel backwards and forwards, you might feel a vague fuzziness. You might feel a little tingling, a little prickling, a little buzzing, a little heaviness. Just keep moving that feel, and you will start to feel something, a physical sensation in your left hand.
So it's almost like it's mirroring the other hand.
Yep, you're moving the feel. How this works is, Donna, if you focus your... Keep moving that feel back and forward through your hand, by the way. Just keep moving that feel. If you focus your attention in any part of the physical body, that part of the physical body becomes energetically stimulated. And by energetically stimulated, I mean the nerves in the physical body in that area where you're paying attention to, charge up, ready to move. It's called pre-movement neurofiring, the nerve charge up. And but you don't move. You move the point of attention on, and so the nerves discharge. Now, with what you're doing here, you're moving your attention from your fingertips to your wrists, backwards and forwards through the substance of your hand. Now, so what's happening here is the nerves in your hand are continually charging and discharging, causing a lot of bioelectrical activity inside of the hand. Now, this causes a lot of physical sensations. And beneath the substance of the physical body, it actually directly stimulates the energy body, the subtle template beneath the physical body. And this technique, what I call body awareness tactile imaging, allows you to come to grips with the subtle energy body, its meridians and chakras beneath the physical body.
you go into a great deal of detail in your book, and you make a comment, which I think almost all my listeners would agree with, that emotions are the most noticeable link with primary energy center activity. And you talk about this, and of course it has a direct association with the chakras in the body. And with the little bit that I have known about Qigong, there are so many points in your book that really are very harmonious with many exercises that are done in Qigong for the working with energy healing itself. Did you study Qigong?
No, I didn't. I developed the energy work system independently, but recently, over the last few years, I have gotten to know some people who study Qigong, and including some Qigong teachers and masters. And we had a lovely time exchanging information because the techniques are similar. There's similarities with Qigong and other Taoist practices and even Chinese acupuncture. And that's understandable because the energy body is what it is. It hasn't changed. It's always the same. And so the Taoist system and my work, we tend to validate each other because both systems were developed independently. And my work, I deliberately did, after I made the original discoveries, I deliberately didn't look into other systems because I realized what I was doing by taking a fresh approach to exploring the energy body and developing a new system. Apart from it being a lot of fun, I mean, I love, you know, the discovery of it all. It was self-validating, and, I discovered a lot of new things along the way.
We're talking with Robert Bruce. His book, Energy Work, it is all about the secret of healing and spiritual development. Now, this book is especially interesting because it is a how-to book. He has illustrations in it. We are talking about tactile sensory experiences where you can be aware of energy. But it's more than that. It is something that if you have done any research or investigation into any of the disciplines, Tai Chi, Qigong, if you're into spiritual healing of any kind, all of this is additional information that would complement whatever you would know. And you have some items in your book, Robert, creating energy balls. This is an exercise that I think just about anybody could do. How did you come up with creating energy balls? Because you just said that you've never studied with anybody else. It was after you made your own self-discovery that you found how compatible it was with so many different other disciplines. Tell us about energy balls and how you discovered how you can do that.
Well, energy ball is the use of body awareness. What we do is we use imagination to shape the energy we're moving through the body. For example, earlier when we were moving the energy from your fingertips to your wrist, back and forth through your hand, if you imagine that was an energy ball about the size of a softball sitting over the tips of your fingers and then moving back and forth through your hand, and while you're feeling it move through your hand, you also imagine an energy ball there. And let's say you imagine an electric blue energy ball there. You have added a shape to the energy and you've added a color to the energy. Now, the imagination, when applied to energy movement, changes the properties and the quality of the energy. Now, if you imagine different colors, energy balls and shapes, each color has a slightly different property and a slightly different feel to it. And if you go through the spectrum, let's say you have two energy balls over your feet and you bounce them up and down your legs from your hips to your feet. And if you start with red, and you will find, and then you move on to orange and yellow and work your way through the spectrum, you'll find each color has a slightly different feel to it because it has a slightly different quality, following roughly the if you went to color healing, it follows the properties of color healing. Because imagination shapes the energy and changes its quality. As for energy balls, I actually came up with them through my children. They were into a cartoon called Dragon Ball Z many years ago. And they were always going around the house shooting energy balls at each other. And it just hit me one day that energy balls would be a good construct, energy construct to move through the body. It's very easy to imagine, like imagining a tennis ball or something. It's very simple, very easy, and quite effective. I mean, you could imagine a square, it would do the same thing, or a cube moving through the body. But it's more complex. A round, even spherical shape of a ball is much easier to imagine.
You talk about the energy circuits in the body. You talk about a whole body bounce. You go into breathing storage and the healing circuit. There are so many things that you cover. And many times people would like to know what they could do to give themselves an overall harmonic balance in the body, especially if they're highly stressed. What kind of an exercise would you recommend that would enable one to refresh the entire body from the top of the head to the tip of the toes? What would you recommend that someone do?
The couple of exercises in my book, one of them is the full body circuit where you move energy around the body using the breath, and you store it in the lower storage center, which is just in your lower tummy. Sorry, that's what the Taoists call the lower dantian.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is the whole body bounce, where you imagine basically a large energy ball fits over your feet and moves up and down through your entire body, from your head to your feet. It's also quite invigorating. Probably the full body circuit would be the best one.
You talk about the Kundalini. I can remember when I first heard that word many years ago. It sounded so very, very mystical, and it still is considered very mystical. You went through quite an experience with the Kundalini. Tell us what the Kundalini is, and talk to us about spikes. What are they?
Well, I beg your pardon? About what?
About the Kundalini and the spikes.
Oh, the spike, sorry. The Kundalini spike, yeah. Kundalini, and I'm talking from personal experience here, is an evolutionary mechanism which exists in the sacrum area at the base of the spine. And it's traditionally thought to be there, and it's depicted as a small, coiled-up cobra, tiny. Now, a lot of people think the Kundalini, the cobra, which is used to represent it, is a symbolic of Kundalini. But it is not really symbolic. The Kundalini cobra, the coiled-up snake, is very descriptive of the physical sensation of what it feels like to raise Kundalini to the full. Because when you hit the main event of Kundalini, which happened to me about 15 years ago, it feels like a physical snake as thick as your wrist is forcing its way through the perineum, which is that flat area between your anus and genitals, up through your stomach, lower stomach, 3.5 coils through the torso clockwise, and then up through the neck and head. Now, when it gets to the head area, there is a large, heavy piece of energy comes out of the brow and hangs down over the nose. Imagine if you've got a large stake hanging from your forehead down over your nose. So if you put this together, the snake-like feeling moving through the body, and it physically moves your body, you can feel your stomach contorting on the inside at the time, and I think that's caused by an internal manifestation of ectoplasm, a semi-physical fluid at top energy. Imagine that 3.5 coils through the stomach, up through the neck, and then this heavy flap coming down over the front of the face and nose. I mean, that is very descriptive. The feeling of like a big snake, like a cobra with a big hood coming down over the face. So I'm not surprised that they chose the hooded cobra to represent Kundalini. It's very descriptive. But the spike, per se, as you asked about, in the early stages of beginning to erase Kundalini, I don't mean awaken it, that's a different thing. It has a lot of different sensations, but in the main event, you get shooting electrical burning type sensations that go up through the spine and through the central channel sometimes, but they would usually go up the spine from the coccyx, and it feels like electricity shooting up there, kind of quite a painful burning sensation.
Well, for many people, they seem to feel that that is so important to have happen to them. And with your description, I'm sure many people are saying, yuck, is this really what I want to have happen? Oh, boy, I don't know. That just doesn't know. I don't know that that would feel very well. But you say...
Well, Donna, that's a symptom.
Okay.
I forgot to actually answer your question there. What actually Kundalini is, I just described the symptoms. Forgive me for butting in. But what Kundalini does is, and it can manifest in several different ways and intensities, it evolves your consciousness to a higher level. Now, normally, people live in the world and we all go to work and things. I mean, we need a normal level of consciousness like normal people have, like the Monroe Institute call it C1, there's various terms to it, normal consciousness. Now, this is all we require for living a normal life. You would not want your consciousness to be at a higher level. It would distract you from a normal life. But if through intellectual, emotional, spiritual pursuits, you are pursuing a higher order of thinking and being, that alone can trigger Kundalini, and so can energy work. And that will evolve your consciousness to work at a higher level. Your psychic perceptions open up. Your emotional perceptions open up. And there were higher and higher levels of Kundalini, probably several of them, because Kundalini is not a raise it once and it's done kind of thing. Once you have triggered the awakening, it is a whole new spectrum of development appears in front of you with many, many different levels. And yet, the essence of Kundalini is the evolution of consciousness.
You talk about charging food, drink, and air with energy and intention. I found this particular section quite interesting, intentionalizing food and drink. Tell us the exercises that you recommend that one does with their food and drink.
Well, the intentionalizing food is very much in line with Masaru Emoto's work in The Messages in Water. A wonderful man, I saw him in Carolina, where by placing water over the top of symbols, writing symbols of love, words saying love and various other intentions, the water becomes impregnated with the intention of that word or that symbol to the point where there's actual physical changes noticeable under a microscope have been proven. And he showed me, and this relates absolutely to intentionalizing food and water, I saw a demonstration of his in North Carolina, and he showed me just how sensitive water is, and food is the same. It all contains water molecules. He had some water there which he put a picture of a moose head underneath. And the ice crystals that formed that he showed, you could see almost all of the moose antlers and head in the water crystal. He showed one that had the Eiffel Tower under it, another one with a Statue of Liberty, and you could make out probably half of the Eiffel Tower in the water crystal. It is that programmable. And this is just using a written symbol or a photograph. Now, if you use your energy and your intention and... by, for example, holding a glass of water or a cookie in front of you or an apple, and you raise energy and you feel your awareness holding the glass of water, and you pump the energy using energy movement techniques, which I teach in my book. You pump the energy through you into your hands as if you were giving it healing. Hold a particular intention in mind, let's say vitality or healing. You should only hold one intention in mind when you do this. And let's say you hold vitality in mind, and you pump your intention and your energy into it for a period of time, and that imparts that intention into the water or the food that you're holding by a similar process, because food, water, it's very, very impressionable and would take on the qualities of the thoughts and the feelings and the intentions that are directed towards it.
There is so much information in your book, and I know we're almost out of time, Robert. For those of you listening, Robert Bruce, we're talking with him in Australia. His wonderful to-do book, Energy Works, The Secret of Healing and Spiritual Development, is a must in a library. He's got so many wonderful, wonderful suggestions about techniques you can use to heal yourself, and to also maybe help someone else. But taking care of yourself first, I think, is very, very important. And it's good
Absolutely.
To experiment. Good to experiment, good to explore. Now, Robert, what is your website that people can go to find out more about what you do?
Wonderful. Yeah, I have a big website at www.astraldynamics.com. And if you go there, you will find right on the front page a gorgeous brown diagram of the hallway and the Hall of Learning online school. I recently started up an online mystery school, and we teach energy work and healing and astral projection online. And
wow.
It's a wonderful new concept. Yeah, we've got a practical astral projection intensive coming up shortly, starting on September the 8th. And the first one went amazingly well. And we've got a nice group of people together, including Whitney Straber from Dreamland Radio is joining us there.
Oh, how wonderful.
Very nice, man. I've known him for years, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's astraldynamics.com and the Hall of Learning.
Astraldynamics.com. Again, my guest, Robert Bruce in Australia. His wonderful instructional informational book on energy work, The Secret of Healing and Spiritual Development. No matter what your background has been, this is merely going to add to the wonderful knowledge that maybe you already possess in the healing area. And if you're curious, this is a wonderful book to be able to read and research. Robert Bruce, thank you so much for being my guest today.
It's my pleasure, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be right back, so don't you go away. More good things to come. Don't forget, Energy Work by Robert Bruce, author of Astral Dynamics, and his website is astraldynamics.com. We're coming right back. Don't you go away now.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and I invite you to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free telephone numbers if you'd like to reach me today. 877-877-876-5227 for the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, our direct line is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And if you are a new listener, we're so delighted that you've been able to join us. We welcome you to the BBS Radio listening family. And we invite you to tell your friends, and if you want to call in, just know all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, let me do what I do, and then you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. Do you have dogs? We do. And as they get older, they start to go gray, just like people do. Well, it may surprise you, and it may not, that every year of a dog's life equals about 7 in human years. Wouldn't you say that's the case? Well, that's not necessarily true. Sean Messonier in Plano, Texas, who is a vet, says in general, the bigger the dog, the quicker it ages. Many larger breeds are considered seniors at the age of 5 or 6, and most cats who tend to live longer than dogs show their age by the time they're 10 or 12. Now, if you have an older pet, you really need to make a point of visiting your veterinarian twice a year. He said, just like us, they're more prone to disease as they age, and it's not unusual for dogs or cats to slow down as they're maturing, but you need to let your veterinarian know if there's any big changes in routine. Often, if the animal is refusing to eat or drink, if there's increased sleeping or a lot of urination, it could signal an underlying disease. And I can relate to that because we had a Scottish Terrier who at the age of 12, which in doggy years for Scotties is getting up there, at the age of 12, he was having these accidents. And this was a dog that never had accidents in the house unless it was our fault where we didn't let him out on the proper time. And he just would have these accidents, and we learned that he had a kidney disorder that was inherent to the breed, and there was literally nothing they could do, so we tried to make him as comfortable as possible, but we did have to find out what it was. So these things, when they happen, often if we have animals that are beautifully healthy and we forget that they age a lot faster than we do. They're not going to be with us as long as we would like for them to do. So you might need to talk to your veterinarian about food formulated for senior animals. I have a friend who has a cat, and actually has had a number of cats over the years, and as her cats have gotten older, sometimes they couldn't have the larger amounts of protein. They had to go to a sort of a vegetarian kind of a food program because their digestive systems had changed. Look at what happens to us as we get older. Sometimes those changes affect us as people. So if you want to make sure that your animal really is taken care of, a good, you know, a trip to the vet once, twice a year on a regular basis is very good. Prevention is always a good positioning to take with your animals, just like it is with yourself. Also, dental disease, that can affect animals as well, depending on the types of foods they eat and what their predisposition is. I have been amazed through the years at the diseases that animals get that people get. In fact, I had a vet tell me many years ago that he would actually go in and study human research that had been done on various diseases because he found he could apply it to dogs and to cats. And I thought, this is amazing. But we forget life is, and things can happen. So we need to be aware. And also, summer's here. We're going to be traveling with those pets. So you want to take extra precautions. You've got to be sure that you have extra tags on your animals. You want to have them with a local phone number, your cell phone number if possible, so you can be reached if your animal goes missing. This is so important, and I'm really a strong believer in putting a microchip in the animal, because sometimes animals lose their collars. And we have had in our own neighborhood here at home, just here in the Pacific Northwest, just an amazing amount of animals that have gotten out of their yards. And owners, when they will have their dogs or cats at home, then they might take their collars off. And the animal gets out, and there's no way for them to be identified. A very good friend of mine was dealing with that not too long ago. Fortunately, some neighbors saw their dog and was able to get him, but they said, we didn't have a chip in the animal, and the dog got out because there was someone doing repair work, and they left the gate open where they shouldn't have. Things happen. Please, please keep that collar on your dog or your cat. Make sure you have got those tags. It's so very important. Also, if you need help in finding your pet, you need to have a recent photo. And let's say you're traveling. You're in a different location. The animal gets out, and animals can get disoriented very quickly. The hotel staff that you're staying at and local authorities may be able to find your animal. But if you're going to be traveling, think of these things. Don't take things for granted. Animals act differently when they're traveling than when they're at home, so you have to pay attention. Leash and flashlight. Always, always have your animals on leash. I know I'm repeating it, but it's so important. And even if your dog, you're accustomed to walking them without a leash, you're in a new territory. You don't know if they're going to see an animal, a fox. You just don't know what's going to happen. And their attention is gone, and they're off and running. And you're in a panic mode. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to lose your animal. So also make sure you've got good medical records. Emergency trips to a veterinarian out of state, wherever you might be, will go a lot more smoothly if you have your pet's health history right, close, and available. So take it with you. You know, it's just like having kids. You really need to pay attention to what you're doing. And speaking of paying attention to what needs to be done, hey, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, this is the last weekend coming up. This is the middle of the week, and by golly, a couple more days, and it's going to be Saturday and Sunday of delightful activity and interaction in a time warp. Yes, we'll go back to the Renaissance period and have a blast with the conveniences of the modern day. Now, if you want to have costumes for this event, you can make your own and come with whatever you design, or you can rent them there. Yes, there's friends of mine that have a facility on site. Go see Cindy and Greg, and they will help you out. They'd be delighted to help you dress up whatever character you want to dress into. Now, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair has a website. Go there and you just add the .com. You'll find you can get all the information about pricing, the hours on Saturday and Sunday. This is the last weekend, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's being held at the Mentor Creek Ranch, 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. It is a blast. It is absolutely wonderful. Look for me. Come on in and walk down Main Street. Say hello. I'd love to see you and chat with you for a few minutes, but look for the gigantic banners of a golden yellow, and they have these huge red lions up there. It's so much fun. I'm in costume. It's an absolutely terrific way to spend a weekend with your family, friends, neighbors, what have you. You'll be so glad you've come, and it will give you memories that you'll never forget. The Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, last weekend, coming up. Hope to see you there. Don't forget to go to WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com for all the pricing information. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. You're never too old to go back into a professional arena you're skilled in. You don't believe me? Well, in Murfreesboro, Arkansas, I have never heard of this community. Well, it's not a big town. And there's a hospital there called Pike County Memorial Hospital. And it's not a big place. It only has 32 beds. But to the local people there, it is a life-saving facility. They'd otherwise have to travel tremendous distances to be able to get to a hospital. Well, apparently this past January, the hospital ended up losing three of its staff doctors, and they were considering closing it because those doctors were gone. Well, Dr. Hiram Ward was the hospital's 81-year-old chief of staff. Guess what he did? He got out his stethoscope, and he started taking care of patients again at 81 years of age. He said, I came back so our hospital would stay open. Now, he retired in 1998 after 45 years, and he plans to care for the patients of Pike Memorial until the hospital hires new staff. And patients, well, they haven't had so many because the local people had been willing to travel to larger hospitals in Hot Springs, Nashville, and Texarkana. However, in the 12 months ending in September 2005, this small hospital took care of over 500 patients and registered well over 2,000, almost 2,500, emergency room visits. And so the doctor, who's 81 years of age, came out of retirement. He said it is still a critical facility for the region's sick and injured. He said quite a few of them would lose their life if the hospital weren't here. Thanks to him, it still is. What commitment? So many times we get so caught up with something being bigger and that it's better if it's bigger, when there are certain needs that have to be taken care of. And here is a man, he didn't have to do this, but because of his caring nature and because he is a professional, he said, I am not going to let this close down. I think it's a powerful story about commitment, about serving the community, about doing what you do best and doing it willingly because you know it's the right thing to do. And I know they're eventually going to have those doctors that will come in and fill those positionings. But there you have something by someone that most people would have said, you're 81 years old, you're all dried up, far from it. He's an experienced physician, and he has knowledge that younger physicians could learn from. What a great place for young physicians to go, to be able to serve an internship, to be able to work in a smaller community, addressing the needs of so many. And I think that that's something that needs to be respected and appreciated. So for all of you that might be out there, that may be in your senior years, don't ever feel like you don't have value. If Dr. Ward could do it, at 81, you can do the same thing, no matter what your age. If you're skilled and you're knowledgeable, know that you're needed. Don't take your talents and bury them. Put them out there where they can really do a lot of good. And more than anything else, don't forget to share it with the younger generation. The younger generation needs example. They need the wisdom of people that have walked the difficult roads of life. It's so important. So if you are a mature individual, just be aware you make a difference. And your life isn't over. We don't need to throw you on a garbage heap in life. And sitting in a rocking chair and eating apple pies is for the birds. That gets old real fast. So be out there. And no matter what your age, understand, you are needed. You are a very important part of society, but only you can be the active one. And I think Dr. Ward is an example for all of us of any age to follow. And, oh, hey, I've got to share something with you, but I have to go and take a break for just a moment, so don't go away. We're going to talk about some things that are coming around because of toll booths. Is there one in your area? There's one of mine. We'll be back in just a moment to share some insights with you.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Now, I want to let you know who's going to be on the air with me this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Loretta Scott Miller about a blind puppy. $5. This is a charming story. Also, on Friday, we're going to be talking with Wayne Peterson, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary Beings. This, I think, is going to be a fascinating interview because of the thoughts that are going to be shared. And I won't tell you any more than that. It's something you'll have to tell your friends, and you'll need to listen to, too. So, again, those are the shows that are coming up this week. And don't forget, I'm appearing out at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and I am going to be there at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. I'll be doing many readings for people, and I'll also have some books out there. And this is the last weekend, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, so we hope to see you out there. Check their website for their costs and all the other things, and this is just going to be absolutely dynamic. I look forward to seeing you out there with me. I was going to talk to you a little bit about toll booths because here in Washington, we have a brand new toll bridge that has gone up, and a lot of people aren't too happy about it. And when I was out at the Ren Fair last weekend, I was hearing stories about people who had decided they were not going to pay their toll fees. So they tried to skirt on by. Well, they've been able to photograph or in some way tag the people, and they are fining people $50 every time they go across the toll bridge without paying the $3 fee that is being charged for this new bridge. And that $50, well, apparently there were 3,000 people that have crossed the bridge. It just opened. So 3,000 people have gone through the bridge, and I know it's more than that now, that have not paid, and they are being hit with a $50 fine. So that gave the state an instantaneous $150,000 to add to their coffers. So I don't know about where you might be and if you have any toll bridges, but I came across some information that has just recently been published, and that there are some interesting people doing some diligent duty on this. I know we've got a caller, and I want to get to this caller before we run out of time. Hello, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Rebecca, and I'm calling from the Bay Area.
Hi, Rebecca. I'm going to be in the Bay Area next month.
Oh, great.
14th to 16th, and I'll have more information about that. But anyway, Rebecca, let me get to you quickly, because I know we only have a few minutes here. I want to say right off the bat, stay on top of two projects that you're interested in completing, because both of these projects are going to put you into what I would describe a limelight positioning with other people. When I say that, I don't mean you're going to become a movie star. But
right,
what's
right.
happening is that people will say, wow, Rebecca, you're really on top of things. You really did a good job. And you need to be able to have a list of the accomplishments you've made, because I think this has to do with a professional arena. And people are going to say, you're the kind of person I want on my team. And inasmuch as I'm looking at you wanting to develop a more expansive arena of interaction on a professional level, these are things you need to keep records on, so that when somebody says, well, what have you done? Say, well, I accomplished this, that, or the other, and I did it in this time frame, and I was able to see this problem resolved, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is really going to help you. Finances are going to need to be watched. When I say that, I'm not saying it from a positioning of fear. I'm saying it from a positioning of preparation. You've got some pretty big expenditures that are going to be coming up between 2009 and 2012. So I'd like you to save as much money as possible. What question would you like to ask me?
Well, pretty much you're right on target. Right now I'm dealing with, excuse me, financial, I don't want to say scarcity, but that's kind of what it is. And I don't know, I'm working part-time if I need to switch and try to go back to a full-time job.
I think you're wise. I want you to be aware that some of the volunteer activities that you're going to participate in are going to reward you in ways that you wouldn't expect. But I would say that tight feeling, I give you 3 to 4 months, and I think you'll be past it.
Meaning what?
Meaning you're going to have more dollars in your pocket. But if I could recommend something to you,
yeah,
it would be any extra money you make, put it in an account. Don't touch it.
Yes, I had that feeling earlier. So
you must save as much as you can, hon, because you've got some big things coming up. The more cash you have put aside, the better it'll be.
Should I stay in the same industry I'm in or go back to the old industry I was in?
See, hon, I don't have enough time to answer your question today.
Okay.
I've answered the one, but we're running out of time, and I'm going to have to close out the show.
Okay. I'll give you a call then at another time, and thank you so much, Donna.
Oh, you're welcome, Rebecca. Sorry I have to rush you, hon, but we're out of time.
Not a problem. Take care.
Okay, thank you, dear. This
Bye-bye.
Is Donna Sebo, and I'm so delighted that we've been able to share this time together. I'll give you more information on the phantoms that are haunting toll booths at another time. Meanwhile, remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back with you bright and sassy tomorrow. Enjoy your day. It's a great day to expect blessings and also to accept them when they come. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.